Take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 9. 1 Samuel chapter number 9, verse number 23. And the Bible says, "And Samuel said unto the cook, Bring the portions I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, Set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Behold, that which is left, set it before thee, and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, Up, that I may send thee away. And Saul rose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, Bid thy servant pass on before us. And he passed on, but stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Chapter 10, verse number 1. He said, Then Samuel took a vial of oil, and poured it upon his head, and kissed him, and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance, when thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin of Zechla, and they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet thee three men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee and give you two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, while thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psalter and with tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are coming to, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these things, all those signs came to pass that day. I want to preach tonight for a few minutes, if God will be my help, on a changed heart. Amen. A changed heart. We see here in the Word of God that the people were not satisfied with God. Kind of like the world today. Amen. They were living under a theocracy. Now that means a system where God ruled. That's what theocracy is. It's a system where God is the rule. God is the potentate. God is the rule of the people. And God had done everything for them. He had met every need. He had been there for them. He had led them through. He had brought them through out of Egypt. He had brought them through the sea. He had brought them into the land. He had given them for a possession. He had done everything for them, but they weren't satisfied. So they asked for a king. They wanted a king. So the people, they wanted a king. So God gave them Saul. Amen. So God gave them Saul. And so we see here as we're seeing this is where Samuel brings Saul out and he tells him and he anoints him to be king. Amen. God says, Hey, listen, they want a king. They want a potentate. Go ahead and make them a king. Amen. He said, and Saul had already tried to tell him, said, as a king, you want a king, he's going to take the best you got, he's going to take the best of your servants, and the best of you this, and the best of that, and the best of everything for himself to keep him running. But if you want a king, God told Samuel, he said, go ahead and give him a king. And he told him who to pick, and he picked Saul, a man from Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, and he brings him up, and they're here, and they bring him to this place, and Samuel sets aside a portion of meat, And then when Saul comes, and he knew he was coming. See, Paul was Saul was in search of his father's asses. They had got away from them. They had got off, and they couldn't find them. So they're searching. They'd been several days looking for them. And they come, and if you go back and look at chapter 9, Saul's servant says, "Hey, listen," said, "we're not doing too good on our own," which we never do, by the way. He said, "Why don't we go and inquire of the seer?" Now, that's what they used to call a prophet before the time of the prophet. They called him a seer. And so he said, "Well, why can we go see the seer? Hey, we don't have nothing to offer him. We're going to ask him for something, and we ought to have something to give him." He said, "We've been out here 3 or 4 days." He said, "We've used up everything we have." He said, "We're out here pretty much on our own with nothing." But he said, "You're right." He said, "Let's go see him, and maybe he can share some things with us." So here they come to the man of God with nothing. The man of God's already been communicating with the God of the man, and he's already made provision for him before he ever got there. Ain't that the way God works? He makes provision for us before we ever get there. That's kind of like what heaven's going to be. He's making provision, Brother Jeff, before we ever get there. He's laying it out for us, praise God. So he brings Saul here, and he brings out this shoulder of meat, and he sets it before him, and he said, "Hey, listen." He said, "This is for you. Go ahead and eat." He said, "Then I got something I want to tell you." Saul had no idea what was coming his way. Amen? He was just a Bethlehemite. Praise God, who was in charge of keeping his father's sheep and taking care of the farm, if you will. Amen. He never realized that was going to lead to a job as big as God was about to give him. Amen. So we see him, and God begins to give him some signs and gives him some assurances. Amen. So we see Samuel, he tells him, he said, "Let me tell you," he said, "show you what God has to show you by his word, in the word of God." And so he begins to lay it out for him. He gives him signs of assurance. Amen. Praise God. He's so that he can see. And they show him. He's trying to teach him that he can trust God. Amen. That's what God wants us to do today, to realize and know that we can trust him. Amen. If you don't trust God, who can you trust? Amen. You can't trust nobody. If you can't trust God, there's nobody you trust. Praise God. God, you can trust him 100%. Amen. He's perfect according to his word. His word is perfect. We have a perfect word. So he gave him these things, and he begins to show him how, he said, he began to tell him right out of the gate how he can trust the Lord. He said, "You can trust God." Amen. In verses 1 and 2, he tells him, say, "You can trust God to solve your problems." Now, Saul had a problem. Say, there was something missing. Amen. And it was up to him to find it and bring it back. It was his father's asses. They were gone. Nobody had seen them, either hiding their hair. Amen. They just disappeared. Like they had vanished from the earth. Ain't it amazing how sometimes God uses the simplest things to get our attention? He uses the simplest thing, praise God, to show us that He's still God and He's still in control. They had looked high and low, praise God, for them things. They couldn't find them nowhere. But praise God, God brings it to mind. He brings the man of God. He feeds him. Man hadn't had nothing to eat, praise God. He gives him meat, he feeds him to sustain him. And he said, "Hey, listen," he said, "God's the God of glory, praise God. He's already solved your problem." He said, "Your asses are okay. They've been found, they've been taken care of." Amen. And not only, praise God, does he tell him that his problem's taken care of, but he said that that God will provide your needs along the way. Amen. In verses 3 and 4 here, he said, "You go up." He said, "When you go up towards Tabor, the plain of Tabor," he said, "you're going to meet these three fellas. And these three fellas, they're going to have the essentials for what you need. They're going to have 3 kids and 3 loaves of bread instead of a bottle of wine. And said, they will salute thee." They're going to say howdy doody to you. Amen. And so what they're going to do, he said, "then they're going to offer you 2 loaves of that bread." Amen. He's saying what it is. He said, God was going to supply your need. So you see how God's a setting Saul up that he can have the assurance that he can trust God, that God will take care of him. God will meet his need over and above anything that he could even expect. Amen? So he sees that he will provide for his needs. He said, they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Amen? So he said, here it is. They're going to set you up. You can trust God completely. Amen. You don't have to worry about anything. He's going to take care of your problems. He's going to supply your needs. Praise God. And then he says he's not only going to take care of your problems, supply your needs, but he said he's going to empower you. He's going to give you power that you never, strength and power that you never knew you had. Look at verse number 5. He said, after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. Now, these were the mortal enemy of the Israelites. Amen. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and tabret and pipe and harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Amen. They're going to testify. They're going to praise and give God glory. They done been up on the high place. They done been worshiping God. They done been God full of the Spirit, praise God. God had done loaded them up. Praise God, he had done filled their cart up to overflowing. And here they come down through there, and they meet Saul on the way. Praise God, full of the Holy Ghost. Just shouting and praising, singing and giving God glory. What happens? Old Saul got caught up in the Spirit. Said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Thou shalt prophesy with them. Shall be turned into another man. Amen. Praise God. You talk about a heart change. Praise God. Old Saul got a heart change. He got a transplant right there. Praise God. That power of God. Praise the Lord. That power for service that he was going to need. Amen. In the ministry for the Lord. God said, I'm just going to pour out upon you. Hey, praise God. He's going to take care of your problems. He's going to supply your need. And he's going to empower you with the Spirit from on high to the things that's pleasing unto God. What more could you ask for? It sounds like a perfect scenario. Wouldn't it be nice to have all that in your life today? Amen? Guess what you do? We're serving the same God. He'll help us with our problems. He'll supply our need. He'll empower us with His Spirit, praise God, to encourage and be encouraged to have power from on high. Amen? We just have to trust Him. Praise God. Amen? So he has all this. He has this power. He said, you can trust the Lord. You can trust God. We can trust the Lord today. We can trust God. Praise the Lord. He empowers. He said, hey, listen, he's even going to give you power to hear what God has to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's going to help you to hear. He said, let it be a sign when these things are coming to thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Amen. He said, so God's going to help you. He said, when God's speaking to you, when God's doing these things, he said, just pay attention to God. He said, don't worry about the things and the Bible and stuff coming from the world. He said, just focus on the things that's coming from God. Amen. It makes a difference in your life. Verse number 8. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. Now he tells him this. Now watch this. He said, there's going to be a time of waiting. Praise God. And when you get there, he said, just wait obediently. And when you get there and you wait obediently, God's going to speak to you. Now, so go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. Amen. So he says, listen, said he's not only giving you, you can trust God because he's not only going to solve your problems, he's not only going to meet your needs, he's not only going to empower you, praise God, with the Spirit of God, to serve and to service, but praise God, he's going to give you power to listen and have patience and wait upon the Lord. Sometimes that's the hardest thing that we can do, is have patience and wait upon the Lord. Amen. Amen. We get impatient waiting on the Lord. Amen. We get impatient waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we say, Lord, I need you to give me patience and I need you to make it quick. Amen. Need it right now. Needed it yesterday. But praise God, it's hard to have patience. Amen. But then we see how God not only gave him that patience, that obedience, praise God, to wait obedient for the Lord, but he also, praise God, gave him a humble heart. Look at verse number 9. He said, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. It's amazing what happens when we have a change of heart. Let me just say this tonight. You can change your mind all you want to. Amen? But when you change, when God changes your heart, you're a different person. Amen? I don't know the times that we don't know the times of people that have changed their mind about things. Hey, you and I have changed our mind about things. Amen? But it's when God Almighty changes our mind and changes our heart that things begin to happen differently. We begin to get a whole new aspect on what's taking place. I believe Saul of Tarsus prayed, Saul prayed the king, prayed God, got a hold of something that got a hold of him. Kind of like Saul of Tarsus prayed God when he got a hold of him, we talked about this morning. How God changed him, prayed God, and put him into the gospel ministry to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that people could be helped and they could praise God. And Saul was what he was doing is getting Saul into his ministry. So Saul begins his ministry, praise God, in the strength of these assurances. Amen? He could trust God, amen, to meet his needs. He could trust God to answer his problems. He could trust God, praise God, to provide his needs. He could trust God to empower him for service. He could trust God to give him the power of his word. That would help him to be obedient to what God was saying. Amen? So Paul was empowered, amen, and Samuel had done, laid it out for him. He said, this is what God's going to do for you. Amen? He said, then all you've got to do is be obedient to what God says. And through that changed heart comes obedience. Amen? Through a changed heart comes obedience. But we've got to remember in Saul's time, it isn't like today. Because, Brother Chris, the Holy Spirit would come upon people in the Old Testament, and then he could withdraw. Amen? And then he could come upon them again, and he could withdraw. And so it was up to them to stay close to God, to keep seeking God, to keep desiring the Spirit of God so that he would stay with them and help them, encourage them along the way. It's not like that no more. Amen. Now when you get saved because Jesus Christ has come and He died, He sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and wherever you are, He's there with you. Ain't you glad it's that way? He keeps us out of trouble. He shows us here in the Word of God that if without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, praise God, it's hard to walk right and talk right and live right. It's hard to keep your heart right. Amen. When the Holy Spirit of God's not in there to help you. Amen. Things come up, praise God, and they infiltrate your mind and your thinking, which affects your heart. And that's what happened to Saul. As time went on, praise God, he began to trust more and more, God less and less, and himself more and more. Amen. And he began to rebel against God's Word. Hey, it didn't take him decades or centuries either. It was just a little while. Amen. Till Saul began to trust in himself. Now, when he was still small in his own mind, he could trust God. But if we ain't careful, we get heady and high-minded, and we think we're all that in a box of Cheetos. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he said, when we trust in God completely, and we just keep trusting Him, realizing that we can do nothing within ourselves, because Jesus told us that. And I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus more than I believe this old flesh that I live in. My flesh has got all kind of confidence in me, but I tell you, I don't have all kind of confidence in my flesh. It's let me down so many times. But we see Saul, praise God, as he begins to put his faith and trust in himself. And he begins to rebel even against the Word of God. If you go over just a couple of chapters to chapter 15... Now, Israel is dealing with the Amalekites. You remember the Amalekites? The Amalekites is the one that they come up behind them and they attacked them from the rear, and they would take those that was lagging, those that was elderly, those that was sickly, and they would come upon them, amen, and they would manipulate them and they would hurt them. And God said, hey, listen, we can't wink at that because we got to take care of them. So Samuel comes to him, verse chapter 15, and he said, Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over this people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. He said, now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them, and told them, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And then, of course, he told the Kenites, because they had been friendly to him, he said, you need to get out of here if you want to live, because they said, we're going to destroy the Amalekites. So they did, and Saul, in verse number 7, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havel unto thou comest ashore, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. See, Saul's already started diverting the plan of God. Amen? God didn't say nothing about keeping Agag alive. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the ox, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. Now who proclaimed those things to be good? Who made that decision? It wasn't God. God said go in there, but Samuel said God said to go in there and utterly destroy everything. He said don't save nothing. He said they've been so wicked. He said go in there and utterly destroy everything to the ground. But they decided that there was some things that was good that God said wasn't good. And they said, would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Now, who determined what was vile and refuse? That was no account. Amen. They did. So they began to pick and choose for themselves what was good and what wasn't good. Listen to, now, doesn't that sound kind of like the world that we live in today? They're picking and choosing from the Bible what's good and what's not good. Well, this is good and we're going to do this, but we don't believe this. This is not good. So we're not going to accept that from God. You know, in this situation, we're just going to go our own way. We don't care what God says. We're going to go in our own direction. Amen. See, we're no different from Saul when we disobey God. When we start living in disobedience to the Word of God. He gives us specific ways to do specific things, and we ought to just do it the way God says. It works out better that way. So then, verse number 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early in the morning, Saul was in to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. So Saul didn't do what he said. He didn't go where he was supposed to be. And said, Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Ain't it amazing how soon as he come in the presence of Samuel, he said, hey, blessed be thou the Lord. I've done just exactly what God said. Amen. Sound to me like there's a little bit of consciousness there that was a shaking on him because he hadn't done what God said. He had been disobedient to God. So soon as the man of God comes up there, he said, hey, listen, man of God, I've done just exactly what God said. Amen. Yeah. But now listen to what Samuel says. I love this part. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Amen. He said, you've done exactly what God said. Yeah, I've done exactly what God commanded us to do. So I took care of business. Amen. Said, just bless me and go on. Ain't that kind of what they would say? Just bless me and go on. Everything's good here. Amen. But it wasn't good. Let me say, what's this noise that I hear? Amen. See, Saul, while he was still in humility, He was running pretty well. But when he got when he began to run within himself, he began to mess up. Amen? While he was still in humility, listen to what he says. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekite. Now, notice, we've done exactly what God said. Then he said, well, it's them people, Lord. Amen. See how people like to pack stuff off on other people? Hey, we pack everything off on the devil. Amen. And the devil's not omnipresent. He ain't around all the time to do everything that we blame him for. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep, here we go again, and of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So how did they know what was the best? God said to destroy it all. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord set thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they be consumed. Amen. He said, when you was little in your own sight, didn't you listen to God? Didn't you do what God said to do? He said, but now you've come to a place, amen, and we've made you king, and now you think, praise God, that you can take things into your own hands. He said, when you was little in your own sight. See, Saul was in his humility. Back up to chapter 10 for a minute. In his humility, in his humble state, before he rebelled against God, amen, when he comes to his uncle, he comes back to his uncle, and he says, you know, that he said, we found the asses, and we came to Samuel, and he said, uncle says in verse 15, he said, tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, he told us plainly that the asses were found. But of the manner of the kingdom whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. Amen? So you say, well, he was pretty humble because, Samuel done told him that God was going to make him king over Judah. Praise God. But he didn't even tell his uncle that he had been anointed to be king. That's a pretty humble spirit. Amen? And if you go on over to verse 27, it says, but the children of Belial, that's the devil, by the way, said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. So she said, in his humility, he didn't mention the kingdom. He said, when they would be riding him, amen, and not accepting him as their king, said he didn't answer, said he just held his peace. That sounds to me like God was it showed a lot of humility on the part of Saul. You think, well, he was a pretty humble person not to say, listen, Uncle, Samuel just anointed me to be king of all these people, you know. So you might want to, instead of asking me questions, question me, you ought to just maybe bow down and give me some reverence. He could have done that. He'd been ever right before. He didn't. But Samuel said, when you were little in your own sight, look what he says over here in verse 23. Well, verse 20, he said, when Samuel had caused all tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. That's a tribe that Saul come out of. And when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of my tribe was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Amen. You say, well, he was just in humility. He was just, kind of keeping a low profile. Yeah, right. Look at verse 22. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answers, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Amen. So, hey, listen, they're looking for this man. They're going to anoint him. Hey, it's coronation day. Amen. And here they, in humility, they think it's humility, they're trying to find him, and they can't find him. Now, was it humility or was it unwillingness to do the job? Amen? They couldn't find him, and they found him cowering, hiding in the wagons, in the stuff. Amen. He is packed up like the stuff. And said they ran and fetched him, verse 23, thence. And when he stood among the people, he's higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. And Samuel says, Saul, when you were, he said, when you were in humility, amen. He said, your head and shoulders above the rest. He said, when you was in it with a humble spirit, he said, you listened to the Lord, praise God, and God blessed you. God gave you all these, he gave you all these signs, he gave you all these assurances. But then when you became king, praise God, you got heady and high-minded. And you started thinking that you were all that. But he said, when to God, he said, when you were little in thine own sight, chapter 15, verse 17, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Amen? When you was little in your own sight, he said, you just thought you was no sheep farmer. He said, now that you've been made king, praise God, you think you're equivalent to God. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't ever get heated. How am I enough to think I'm equivalent to God? God is God. He'll always be God. Amen. But on coronation day, he found him hiding in stuff. Humility, unwillingness, responsibility. What was he shunning? Amen. But he had a change of heart. Amen. A heart that continues. And it should be a heart. When we have a change of heart from God, it should be a heart, brother, that is continually being changed. Amen. For the glory of God. It should be continually trying to grow closer to him day by day. Getting closer to the Lord, praise God, as we journey through life. Amen? That's what Samuel is trying to tell Saul. He said, the Lord sent thee to journey and said, go and utterly destroy the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Chapter 15, verse 18. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Says, why did you change your mind? Why did you not keep your heart right? Amen. We got to keep our heart right. We got to keep going in the right direction. We got to keep seeking the Lord. And if we seek him early, the Bible said he'll be found. And you ever find him, you get a hold of him, praise God. He gets a hold of you, you'll never want to let go. Amen. It just get better every day. That's what happened to him. He had a change of heart, praise God. What does that? The Word of God does that. The Word of God's what makes those changes. The Word of God's what puts us closer. And Saul says this. Watch number 20, verse 20. I mean, it's self-condemnation here. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord has sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen. Is he not supposed to be the king? The high potentate? Amen? The one in charge? Hello? Which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, he says, isn't obedience better than sacrifice? He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, that's disobedience to God, by the way. I don't be caught in rebellion, do you? He said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. Hello? Have you got any stubbornness in you? Amen. All of us, a little stubbornness. And stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Amen. Hey, praise God, don't be stubborn toward God. If God says it, praise God, just believe it. Go with it. You'll make it out all right. He goes, thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Now watch this. He has also rejected thee from being king. Amen? He said, because you've been disobedient, because your heart ain't right. Amen? You had the opportunity. You had all that you needed. You had a changed heart. He said, God changed your heart. He said in verse number 6 in chapter 10, he said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Amen. But he didn't want to stay that other man because he got power. He said, when you was little in your own sight. I'm afraid sometimes we get too big for our britches, the old saying used to go. We begin thinking that we know more than what we think, than what we actually do. And if we ain't careful, we put ourselves in the place of God. Amen. We put ourselves in the place of God. As he told him, he said, you know, all these things come to pass. He said, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Samuel said, listen, God's going to bless you. God's going to help you. God's going to give you all the assurance you need that he's going to be with you. And he's anointed you to be king over these people. And praise God. But he says, listen, he said, it just shows us that our stature, our status, praise God, it does not comprehend, it does not go above, praise God, a heart that's right with God. A heart that is right with God. A heart that's steadfast in the Lord. That's what he's looking for. A changed heart that's willing to go with God. To be obedient unto the Lord. To do what he says. You know, a lot of times we say, well, you know, I know God says this, but there's no but about it. If God says it, it's a fact. It's a done deal. Amen? We just have to rearrange our lifestyle and our thinking and our heart to it lines up with what God's telling us. Amen? He said, all that iniquity, all those things in your life, I want you to go in there and just utterly destroy it. Paul said, I want you to take all those things, praise God, that would cause you to sin and to do things that's contrary to the Word of God. He said, mortify the deeds of your flesh. You put them to death. Amen? Wasn't he telling us the same thing that Samuel told Saul? The Amalekites, that affliction, that constant flesh that's coming up against us. That's what the Amalekites represent. That's always coming up, sneaking up behind us and attacking us from the rear. Paul said, mortify the deeds of your flesh. Amen? Praise God. Mortify the deeds of your flesh. He said, change your heart and just keep going with the change. Amen. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise God. So we don't get messed up like Saul did. Saul had done been made, he'd done been proclaimed to be king of Israel. Praise God, because of his sin, because of his iniquity, because his disobedience. He said, hey, son. Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. See, Samuel had done, Saul had done went up and set up a sacrifice, when was offering up sacrifices, praise God, instead of waiting on Samuel. Amen. He was out of place. He was trying to be everything that he wasn't instead of being what he could have been. I mean, we don't need to be something that we're not. We just need to be what God will help us to be. Amen? Let him change your heart and then just go with God. Stay with him, praise the Lord. Stay with him all the days of your life. Don't deviate from his plan. Don't deviate from his purpose. What's his purpose, praise God? To change our hearts and our lives in a direction to Godwardness toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ done that on Calvary, praise God. He paid the price. He bought us from sin. Amen. He came, defeated sin, so that through him we can go free. Praise the Lord.